with is in the early chapters of Proverbs, where the writer is really depicting or trying to give us a glimpse of the heart of a father. So he's obviously talking about our Papa God, Father God. And he's trying to give us a glimpse of the Father's heart. And he's saying, you know, here is wisdom for you. You know, here's some things that are going to make your life work. And there's a real cry, like, you know, it comes out of the pages. It's not just ink on paper. It's something spiritual about the Bible. But it just kind of rings, it echoes with this cry of a father's heart to say, look, I'm just giving you this information. I'm giving you this wisdom. And oh, if you will just listen. You know, if you would just lean my ear, it uses all sorts of terminology. If you would just lean my ear to hear, if you will, hello, Huey, how are you? He wants to preach too one day, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, and so there's that real context or that urgency or that sense of cry, heart cry, to say, I just want you to hear this, I just want you to take it on. Paul was the same. You know, we're familiar with his letters, and at the beginning of a few of his letters, he just says, this is my cry, this is my prayer. You know, since I've known you, this is my prayer. That you'll have, one of the words he uses, that you'll have revelation. That you won't just kind of hear information, but you'll have revelation. And so, you know, as you think about that, Jesus, you know, he would teach, and he'd take time just to teach, because he knew that he had something to say, and they spoke about him as one who spoke with authority. Because he said, you know, what I hear the Father say, that's what I say, didn't he? Where I hear the Father, where the Father goes, that's where I go. And so he was just really being a vessel for the Father to speak to the people, and he spoke with authority. And I'm just saying that it's a privilege to preach because there's this cry that comes from our heart to say we just really want to be able to convey what we think will be helpful and will be beneficial to people's lives. And this theme that I want to share on this morning about our inheritance, you know, I was thinking about, because Jem, he's very creative, you know, he gets up and does all sorts of creative things, and I thought, well, I've just got to be myself. But if I was Jem, all right, now some of you might think, well, come on, why don't you get a bit more like Jem? All right, well, if you tell me and encourage me, I might try, all right, but there's a lot of years between me and Jem. But didn't Jem do a great job preaching while we're away? And I want to reassure you, I've said it a few times, I want to reassure you that, yeah, there is a gift that Jem has, and we want to release that and encourage that. So he's going to continue to preach, you know, regularly, okay? So we're not sort of saying, we'll see you later, Jem. We really want to encourage that gift and release Jem. And there's others who preach among us who, you know, we value, don't we, the word that comes. And we value each person's different expression of bringing the word. So well done, Jem, and we're going to... I want you to know Jem's going to continue to preach. But I thought what Jem would do if he had this this message this morning, what he'd probably do, I thought, this might not be Jem, you might think this is too corny for you, I don't know. But what I thought I'd do is I'd put a desk up here, which is like a solicitor's office, you know, the desk. And I'd have the solicitor sitting at the desk, you know, so I don't know. I thought, who would I get to dress up like a solicitor? I thought Andrew Walton's beard at the moment. Don't you think he'd make a good solicitor? Just stand up, Andrew, give us a look at you. I like embarrassing Andrew sometimes. I've got to know what I can get away with. But don't you reckon he looks a bit like a solicitor at the moment with that sort of distinguished grey, that distinguished beard, the coloured beard, I should say. But anyway, but I could say, so maybe I could have got Andrew to dress up. He looks pretty good when he gets dressed up. So I thought I'd get Andrew to sit up here like a solicitor and, you know, and basically pick up the phone. I thought, oh yeah, you know, I'd get one of them old phones, you know, like just because then some of us oldies would appreciate that. And he rings up and he gets someone on the phone and he's bringing them some good news. He wants to tell them that he's just opened a document and the document is made, is an authoritative document that makes it absolutely clear, there's no question about it, that there's somebody who's got an inheritance. They've come into something good, you know? And we say come into money, but who knows is more than money. But the analogy is that, you know, you've come into something good. And he rings up and he says, well, you know, you've come into an inheritance. I've got some good news for you. Would you have done that? It was a bit corny, Jem, for you, mate. Or is that, no, don't answer it. Don't answer it. Okay, so, you know, now I've kind of half done it, haven't I? So that's not too bad. And sort of getting it. Anyway, so there's this exciting news of coming into an inheritance. And I guess what I want to do is this morning is share four things that I think are really helpful, because we can think about an inheritance and we say, you know, that's great. It's good news to have an inheritance. And each one of us, you know, we come into an inheritance. And I'm going to talk about how we come into that inheritance in God as followers of Christ. But there's four things that I want to share that I think help to unlock the full expression or the full embracing of that inheritance, all right? So the first one this morning is that the inheritance comes through relationship alone. Relationship is the only qualifier, I put it this way. So four things we'll look at, and the first one is, I was kind of thinking, if anyone can tell me the four at the end, I'll give you a free coffee, but that's no good this morning because you're going to get a free coffee anyway. So maybe one day, but if you come up and tell me, you'll encourage me and I'll become more like Jim, alrighty? So the relationship is the only qualifier. So I've just written this, it's not a wage, because you know, the thing about a wage is a good. Who enjoys getting a wage? You know, you got a job and you get a wage. Now some people say to me, I love, the only thing I don't like about getting the wage is that I've got to go to work. Now, it doesn't work that way, does it? Has anyone ever thought that? Just for a moment, you haven't spoken it because you'd be too embarrassed to say that, but you've thought that, a few hands going up, particularly at the back of the room where nobody can see, all right? But, you know, you think to yourself, well, you know, the only thing, like, wouldn't it be great if you could have a job and don't have to do anything and you get the wage? But that's just not, it just doesn't work that way, because the whole idea of a wage is that you do something and you deserve it and you get what you're entitled to. Is that right? Well, the thing about a inheritance is that it's not a wage. So that tells me I don't have to like sort of say, well, if I meet all the criteria in terms of doing work or doing hours or doing the right job or having the right qualification or having the right skill. Now, they're all good things, and a wage is a good thing. It's good that we have to do something and get a wage. You don't have to read very far into the Proverbs where you find out if you don't work, you don't eat, is the scripture that it says. I mean, it's just pretty plain, isn't it? Like, we've got to get off our tail and do something, and we kind of reap what we sow and all that. So we have to do something if we can. It's not always possible, but, you know, if we can. But the thing about that is, there is a place for a wage, but there's a beautiful place for an inheritance. And I wrote the other thing was, it's not a lottery win. Because, you know, a lottery win, well, it's kind of a little bit like an inheritance in a way, isn't it? Because, you know, like you just one day you suddenly got it. Now, my grandmother, I don't buy a lottery ticket, but my grandmother, when she was alive, she used to get all our birthdays, and every week she'd put in a lotto based on all the family's birthdays. And after a few decades of doing that, she said, you know what, even if I won the lotto, I wouldn't be able to pay all your mortgages out anyway. So, but she used to always think she'd give it to us. And she'd say to me, you know, oh, you're a Christian, you know, you're probably not a gambler, you probably, you know, don't buy the lottery ticket. So she said to me, you probably wouldn't receive the benefits if I did win the lotto. And I said, no, I definitely wouldn't be that rude, Grandma. I respect you too much not to receive, you know, the benefit, my share of the lottery win. We'd turn into something good, wouldn't we? But it's not a lottery win, because the lottery win is, and this is the key thing I thought about it, is the lottery win is only for a lucky few. And I just want you to grab that, because you can think about it. So it's not something that we have to earn by following all the criteria or whatever. There is criteria, but it's, I want you to see it very simple. It's our only qualifier is relationship. But it's not only for the lucky few, it's for any who would come. There's so many scriptures we could share where just the invitation is for us to come into relationship. And when we come into relationship, then we come into an inheritance. And I know in the natural, the analogy can break down a little, because when we think of a natural inheritance, we think, well, there's a certain amount or a certain degree of property or whatever it might be. And if there's a certain number of people, then, you know, there's going to be a limit to what you get. Well, that's a bit different. That analogy doesn't work in this particular case, because this is not really about limited material stuff. It does actually, I believe, involve some material stuff. It does believe God promising as a father to bring to us, you know, our needs to be met. He understands what we have need of even before we ask. And so there's this thing of knowing that God is there and He's got us covered and He's interested in our day-to-day needs. And how many times does He just miraculously provide just at the right time the exact thing that we need? You agree? Is it, how many people could stand up right now and testify? We won't, because this is my first sermon for a long time, all right? But how many people could stand up and say, you know, just the other day, you know, I was so upset or so anxious, like you weren't even full of faith, and then what happened is just at the right time, like something happened and it came. And you're saying, Lord, you need to do that again for me, please. You know, like, because it's sort of like it's an ongoing thing. But doesn't that keep us in relationship, keeps us dependent? He's not trying to do that, but, you know, we're just dependent upon Him, and He's faithful, isn't He? Isn't He faithful? Isn't He faithful? Yeah. Now, I just saw Layla there. How are you, Layla? Oh, someone said this morning, Layla should be back soon. I said, yeah, I think she's on the way. So Layla's been over to London and every place, you know, and jet setting around. So it's nice to have Layla back, isn't it, with us? And so welcome back, Layla. All right. We get excited having you around, Layla. Okay, so we have this inheritance. It's only through relationship. Now, you know, during my time off, a few people said to me, for those who are visiting, I had 12 months off. I went and helped my mum and dad. My dad's just turned 80 last November, so I helped them for 12 months on the farm. Gave him a hand, turned up every day. I think I've told you. He said, don't come early. So I said, sure, I'm happy to do that. I respect you too much to come early. So that was good. So I turned up at, you know, definitely not farmer's hours and whatever, but gave him a hand, and it was good. And some people said, oh, okay, so you're shoring up your inheritance, are you? You know, going to work for mum and dad to shore up your inheritance. Well, even if I was, who knows, it doesn't work that way. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's not the qualifier. It doesn't work that way. Now, I guess as we are imperfect humans, well, sometimes it might work that way, mightn't it? Sometimes it might work that way. But that's not really purely what an inheritance is, all right? So what we're talking about today is not the human version as such, but we can learn from that. But actually, we're looking at the perfect concept of an inheritance. My dad used to say, so turning up at the farm every day doesn't really shore up my inheritance. Just like when I was a kid at high school, my dad said, if you ever start smoking, you're not going to get your inheritance. That's what he told me. I'm glad he never found out. It was always a bit tricky. You know, if mum turned up out at the boarding school I was at, unexpected, you had to get a bit of chewy gum pretty quick. And I don't know whether that even worked. I think she just probably went along with me. I'm feeling that that's probably what happened. He said, if you ever start riding a road bike, motorbike, you know, then you're out of the inheritance. Now, there's a story that goes with that, and I'll be very brief, but he had an apprentice working with him in the butcher shop, and he used to ride a bit crazy on his road bike, and along the way he was killed on that road bike. And so my dad had this obsession that, you know, I don't want you on a road bike. And so it was out of love that he said, I don't want you on a road bike. But he kind of thought he could use the inheritance as a bribe. But it was never really what he meant, and obviously it doesn't work that way. Is that right? It doesn't work that way. I've never ridden a road bike. Well, I have ridden one, not when he knew about it, but and without a license at the time, which I won't do again, I promise. Okay, I won't do it again. I want to look at a couple of verses then just on this first point. Colossians 1 verse 12 was a beautiful passage or a beautiful verse. And I'll be pretty quick. I've got a couple of verses. So look, if you just try to follow me through and hang with me if you can. Colossians 1 12, and this is in the Amplified Bible. And it says this, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, so Colossians 1:12, I'm going to read from a couple of translations, so I'll get your time to get there. But giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. In the Amplified, it's got in brackets, God's people, in the light. So not a saint as in someone who goes and does everything perfect, but a saint, and then the Amplified, you know how it does, in brackets, says what that means is God's people. Now, we're God's people if we've opened our heart and received Jesus. If that's something that you've never done, maybe you've believed in God and you've respected God, maybe you've been interested in many of his sayings and you've had a desire maybe to get to know him more. If that's you, well, this morning, you know what? You can start the relationship that brings you into the inheritance. You can even do that right now. Even as I'm talking, you could say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you took my sin. I thank you that you invite me into relationship with you. Whatever your own words are, but that's basically what we're saying. I want to come into relationship with you. And that's possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. Most of us are familiar with what Jesus did on the cross. He died there in our place so he could take the punishment of our shortcomings. For all of us have sinned, haven't we, and fallen short of God's standard. And so for that reason, God loved us so much, he didn't want to give up on us, and so he invited us into relationship with him. So it says here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, he's the one who qualified us, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of God's people in the light. The Passion Translation, it says, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. I love this. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. Has your heart ever done that? Has your heart ever soared with joyful gratitude? Beautiful, isn't it, when those times come? And we can't perhaps do that every moment of every day because, you know, it's just part of life, isn't it? But those moments where we soar with joyful gratitude, when you think, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude, when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. Pretty cool, eh? We get so excited about that. The phone call, you know, from Andrew Olchin, dressed as a solicitor, that comes to us and says, hey, I've got some great news for you. Is that Kerry Hopcraft? I was going to say Kerry O'Callaghan, but I'd be really living in the past, wouldn't I? Is that Kerry Hopcraft? Yes, it is. Okay, can you prove it? Tell me your date of birth. Tell me, I don't know, all this information, your mother's maiden name, whatever. And then after you've been interrogated and they've proved who you are, they say, well, I've got some great news for you. You know, you're the recipient of a wonderful inheritance. Well, here it says, you know, just like that might make your heart sore momentarily. It says here, our heart's sore when we think of how God made us worthy to receive the inglorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. The New Living Translation says he's enabled you. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belong to his people who live in the light. A separate verse, and again, I'll just be quick because it's probably, it's a pretty simple verse to understand. I'll just read it to you and you can make a note and look it up later, or if you're quick enough, you can get there. John chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority, or gave the power, but it means authority, to become a son of God, or the sons of God. Now obviously we know that's men and women, isn't it? We become sons, because that inheritance is to a son, but we all qualify as men and women. So, as many as received him, that's all we had to do, enter relationship and receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, you know what? It's not a wage, is it? It's not a lottery win for the lucky few, but it's an inheritance for those who enter relationship, and the door is open, the invitation is open for us all to enter relationship. One more verse on this point and we'll move on, but Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It just says, the King James Version says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Saved by grace, unearned favour, through faith. Not of ourselves, the gift of God. The Passion Translation says, for it was only through his wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us in Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or for human striving. He could have said it's not a wage, couldn't he? But it actually is a free gift. Well, the second thing about an inheritance. So the first thing is it comes through relationship. But you know, there's a sad thing that there's a lot of people who have an inheritance but never become aware of it. Or never become aware of the full extent of it. And so I've put as a second point here, you've got to read the will to know what is yours. You can't rely upon rumour. You can't rely upon hearsay. That you need an authoritative source to know what your inheritance really is. And of course, the authoritative source is the Word of God, isn't it? The Bible. And it's not just reading it like a textbook, but it's opening it up and letting the Holy Spirit quicken it to your heart and bring revelation, like we mentioned before. Revelation is about revealing, isn't it? It brings revelation to your heart. And so we need to know what is our inheritance by coming to an authoritative source. Acts 20 and verse 32 in the New King James Version says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, really, when it's commending something, it's saying, I direct you towards it. You know, I steer you towards it. I can recommend this. Recommend. I can recommend. So I commend you. I'm pointing you. I'm saying that's the way to find what you're looking for. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And really, we don't have time to unpack the sanctified bit, but trust me, that is you. If you're in relationship with him, the Bible tells us that that is us. And so the word of God, come to God and to his word of grace, because it will build us up. Don't you need to be built up sometimes? In Jude 20, it also says you can build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. It only has one chapter, so it's chapter 1, verse 20. But verse 20 in Jude says, build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, that can be praying in tongues, or it can just be praying, letting the Holy Spirit, you know, mobilize and initiate the prayer inside of you. And as you pray, what happens is you build yourself up, don't you? It's a beautiful thing, and it's good to know that, because don't we need to be built up sometimes? And if, you know, one way we get built up is by fellowship, don't we, and encouraging each other. But we're imperfect human beings, and sometimes that doesn't work out exactly like we hope it would. But, you know, we know for sure that as we come and we pray and we express, you know, what is in our heart in prayer, you know, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, to be able to just speak in tongues in the spiritual language to Him, and that says it will build you up. But the Word of God is also able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, because it reveals the inheritance to you and it brings you into an understanding of what is yours in Christ. Few ways we can do that, can't we? We can, in our own time, we can be committed to just reading a few verses and meditate upon them. Not just we'll read and tick the box and head our way, but to read and to take it on. It can be just a little bit. If you're not a big reader and you struggle to find time to do it, then, you know, just take a moment and just read a few verses and meditate upon it. Have a bit of a pattern to it. Lots of tools and resources that can help you. Listening to preaching. You know, whether it's the best preacher in the world or whoever it might be, if it's someone who's able to just from their heart passionately unpack the scripture to you, it's going to speak to you if you've got a heart to hear. You know, it's the fertility of our heart that often makes a difference about, or makes the determines how much the Word of God impacts our life. And if I can let myself and Jeremy off the hook, and other preachers that we have, Ash and Dom and others that preach, we let ourselves off the hook by saying, you know, it's not entirely, we do our best to present it, but it's not entirely about us, how effective it will be, because really it's the Holy Spirit that takes it and quickens it, and it's the fertility of your heart. How fertile is the soil of your heart? Because if it's fertile, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing where you can actually receive from, and what you can receive from the Word of God. And so we can do that. The other way is in our singing. I was just taking note this morning. We sang some beautiful songs. That what they do is they enable us just to affirm what is true about who God is and who we are and what He said about us. I won't take the time, but I noticed a few to talk about them and quote them. But a few songs today, just notice the lines in them. You know, as we sing them and take a hold of them, as we put our heart into it, what we find is that what it will do is it will just affirm in our hearts. It will remind our hearts. Singing is like singing to our own hearts sometimes and reminding our hearts what is true and letting our heart get a bit stirred and a bit passionate about what we know to be true. Because who knows that the greatest news that we ever hear can actually become a bit mundane after a while. Isn't that right? And you think, well, you know what? What was really exciting is not exciting anymore. Now, this is a pretty poor analogy, but I think some of us will identify with this. It's pretty exciting getting a new car, hey? Now, I think there's one person in the room who would know a bit about that. I saw a picture of a new car of Matilda's, and I'm looking forward to going for a spin. We have a bit of a tradition here that you have to take, you know, the pastor for a drive up the main street and back. Okay? I think it'll be safe, wouldn't it, Matilda, or not? Probably not at the moment, because you'd be unlicensed like I was on the bike that many years ago. You got your P's yet? No, I got your L's, I know that. So you could take me, couldn't you? After church? Is it here? Oh, okay. But it's pretty exciting, isn't it, Matilda? It is exciting. And that's okay. Like, it's just a car, but don't tell me, just a car. When you're young, you get a car and it's nice. But you know what? In 2 years' time, she's going to do what a lot of us do. She's going to be kicking the tires at the car yard and thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind a different one, different colour, you know? Because that's, girls just look at the colour, is that right or not? Well, I've been real risky on my first day. I thought I'd just say it. Anyway, all right, so let's move right along. The saddest thing is when you see the people of God and they don't realize what they've been given. Psalm 103, one of a really, and we won't look at it, but just want to quote it quickly. Psalm 103 just says, forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Again, like I said before, singing to your heart, isn't it? Singing to your own heart. Singing to your soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions. What you got to do is sometimes you got to tell your mind, your will and your emotions to get excited. Is that right? It's not a hype thing. I'm just saying you got to sometimes speak to your own heart and say, remember? Remember? Oh, yeah, when I remember and when I think about that, I get excited again. Because, you know, it's kind of become a bit numb to the things that are important or the things that are exciting. So the psalmist says, forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then if you want to find a good list of the benefits and the inheritance that we have, just continue to read Psalm 103. Because he talks about many things that are good for us to remember. I think I've shared with you before, but one of the jobs I had when I was at the bank about 300 years ago, when I was first out of school, I worked in a bank for a while. It was a government agency bank, the rural bank, and one of my jobs was to get the government gazette that came out, and it was like a printed one now, it's on the net nowadays, but you get a printed government gazette and you'd flick through and find the section that talked about some of the legislation that related to stuff that I was working with in this government bank. And so I had to look and see, is there any changes to the legislation? If there was, I had to highlight them and make sure that we took them into our practices and that we adjusted what we were doing to meet the criteria of the legislation. And actually at my job at the council, I worked for a few years after that at the council, was exactly the same. I scored the job of reading the government gazettes. Man, a bit like reading a dictionary or a telephone book. But it was a little bit exciting because in amongst looking for the legislative changes in the local government act or in the area that I was involved in the bank, there was a section, there was a couple of pages usually that had unclaimed monies. And I used to love looking at that, saying, there's somebody who's got, it would either be an estate or maybe a bank account. Usually the person's disappeared and the bank can't find them. It could be, so that's an estate or an inheritance. It could be a lottery win. We spoke about the lottery win, so it could be a lottery win. So you look through and you see, oh, there's someone who owes 10 bucks. Well, they don't care about that. Then there might be $1 million. Like there was some really big sums there. Yesterday I thought, oh, I'll look on the phone and I'll see whether they still do it. And I looked on the phone and I did a search and I said, like, the biggest you could search was 6 months. I went in New South Wales, unclaimed money, because you can look up and you can see whether you're in there. And I said, go back to January 2018 and show me 6 months worth. And you could put an amount in, so any amount over. So I put an amount over $1 million and it didn't come up with anything. So people are getting smarter. I put over 1,000. And when I read through that, there's lots and lots of amounts of money there, over $1,000 that people haven't claimed for all sorts of reasons. And I thought, isn't that a shame? Someone could probably do with that. There's probably someone who could do with $1,000, but they don't even know that they've got an entitlement to something that is theirs. And isn't that sad? And it's not too hard to find an illustration these days in our modern cars, in our modern phones, in our modern iPads and everything else that we've got modern, your modern microwave or your toaster. You find out actually it could have cooked the toast upside down, you just didn't know. It could have, I don't know, it could have gave you a phone call to your smartphone when the toast was cooked instead of burning the raisin toast like I do every morning. Like there's all these features that you don't even know about because you just didn't become aware of them. Is that right? Look, you've got my point, but it's really an important one. We really need to seek after and to know and to desire to know what our inheritance is. Not just for selfish reasons, but because that inheritance came at a cost. And God's heart, He loves us so much. He's our perfect Father. And just like a perfect Father would want the children to know what they're entitled to and to live in the full expression and the full experience of their entitlement, you know, I think it grieves God's heart. Well, why should we miss out? It's not selfish to want to go after it, but that's not the only reason. It's because when you're in relationship with a loving Father, don't you want to enjoy and experience the delight of Him seeing you, you know, taking hold of what is yours and living it out? And so it's good to realize what we have. We did a series a few years back on, I don't know if you remember, I better not ask who remembers because no one might remember, but it was Realize You Are. I remember our leadership team, our preaching team sat together and we thought, how can we break this down to some things that Realize You Are? So everybody made a list and we had about 30 or 40 things. Like we said, just make it the really key things. We had about 30 or 40. We said, we can't do a 40-week series. That wouldn't be right. So the best we could do was put a few things together, break it down, identify the most important things. And we did a record-breaking 15-week series on Realize You Are. And we delegated all the different bits out to the different people that we thought, you know, would preach on those areas. And it was an incredible series. We called it Realize You Are. And think about that word realize. Because that word realize, we just kind of use it and don't think about it. But the word realize is to make real, to bring into reality in your experience. So when you realize something, it's like revelation, isn't it? When you realize something, then what you do is you make it real. It becomes real to you. You can't realize or you can't experience something you haven't realized. Does it make sense or not? So to realize is to bring it into reality in your thoughts and then bring it into reality in your experience. And so, testimonies like that. How good is it to share testimony about things that have happened? Because it brings it into reality and then we realize what God can do and whatever else. and our experiences. Hey, Angie, on our church Facebook page, put a bit of a testimony, Ange Brown, about Ange Dyson, about a shoulder injury that she had, and she shared about how she had prayer when Brett Lindner was in Griffith, and she went over to the meeting and had prayer there, and then about 50% healing, she says, like immediately, and then over time the shoulder was healed. And I remember she went through lots of different things to try and get the pain out of the shoulder and to get the shoulder better. Well, you know, Rob and Liz Bailey, who come and they have a ministry of prophecy. If you're able to get out to Cooleman for one of the sessions that are on, Brent Lindner, when he's in Leeton and here for healing. There's another couple that we've been talking about, and I posted on our Facebook page. They're going to do 4 weekends at Life Source Church in Griffith, and we're invited if you want to go over. I think 2 in August and 2 in November, whatever. It's all, we can let you know the details. But the thing is, there are ways that you can come to realize or come to be aware of what your inheritance is, aren't they? And we're privileged, aren't we? We have different speakers and different guests and so much opportunity to through the internet and through different ways to become more and more aware of what does the Word say about our inheritance. But we must come to an authoritative source. Daniel 11:32b says, "The people who do know their God," the second half of the verse, "the people who do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits." Isn't that a good word? The people who do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Now that's for anyone, isn't it? But sometimes we've got to know what is ours, and we've got to be hungry enough and thirsty enough to seek after what is ours and to appreciate what is ours and to take a hold of what is ours. And that takes me to my third point, which is we've got to receive the inheritance. And that might seem pretty dumb, but sometimes that's a pretty tricky part, isn't it? Do you know what I'm talking about? That you can know what is yours, but and I can actually, oftentimes it's easier to say, well, we know what is yours, you know? We can tell you what is yours. But when it comes to us, to be a receiver, to be a partaker, to take a hold of it ourselves. And it is a journey. Like I've got written down here 2 words that I've always just loved thinking about. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. There's a bit of a journey, isn't there? The believing and the receiving. It's affirming what we believe and then taking a hold of it and making it our own. I mentioned Psalm 103 a moment ago, and you know, a well-known scripture, "Forget not all his benefits." You know, reminding yourself to bless the Lord, you know, who heals my life, who redeems my life, who, you know, all the different things that are in there. And you can look it up for yourself. But just after Psalm 103, Psalm 116, a little bit down the track, it says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" I haven't got the verse written down here, but it's in Psalm 116. It says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" It's kind of like the psalmist was thinking, well, you know, these are all the benefits. I'm meditating upon the benefits. I don't want to forget the benefits. I want to remind my soul of the benefits that I have, the inheritance that I have in my relationship with him. And then his response was, well, what am I going to do for that? Because he wants to kind of turn it into a wage, doesn't he? Not an inheritance. And he says, what can I do? What can I render to the Lord? What can I do? What's my response? But he quickly realized that that was a wrong question. I'm kind of putting my own slant on it, but this is what he does. It's like a rhetoric, you know, question. You know what that is when you ask a question and answer it yourself. And so he said, you know, what can I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And then he goes on and says, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. See, what he's saying is, you know what? I don't have to do anything. I don't have to give him anything. He's not waiting for me to earn it. He just wants me to take it and be a partaker of it. I love the thought of drinking of the cup of salvation. When we come to communion, I often think of that. I think what I'm doing is I'm drinking of this grape juice that's been put together out in the little kitchen out there, but it's just grape juice. But what I'm doing is I'm thinking of myself. I'm reminding myself that I'm a partaker of all that salvation brings to me. My relationship with Jesus carries so much. You know, it only takes an instant to enter into a relationship with Jesus, but it takes a lifetime, doesn't it, to unpack and to understand and get excited about all the things that come to us in that relationship with him. And so, you know, we are a partaker. We drink of the cup. And so the psalmist says, I'm thinking about his benefits, and there's part of me that wants to offer something, that wants to pay for this, that wants to deserve this, because that's the way we are. But then he says, you know what? No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drink of it and I'm going to call on him. I'm going to call on him. It's beautiful. He says, if you call on me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. That's another scripture. You know, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jeremy shared this morning in communion, beautiful thought for us. And as he was sharing, I thought of a song that I played in a video a long time ago. And I've actually heard Jeremy quote this statement that was in this song, but it's "One touch from the King changes everything." Beautiful song by this guy that I come across it, saw it, someone shared it way back, and it just really spoke to me, and I played it over and over, because what I realize is we can try hard, we can work hard, we can, you know, try to deserve or try to understand, but sometimes we just need to trust his touch, don't we? And he can actually, what did Jeremy say, he can just put water in our hearts, and there's so much stuff that's there that just grows when he waters it. I love that. And you know, one touch from the King, just call on him. Oh, but how am I going to get through it? If I call on him, I've got to know. I can't see how he's going to help me. I don't see how he's going to answer. Well, leave that to him. Just call on him. Just call on him. Lord, you know, I'm calling on you. I need you. You know, you're the perfect Father. Remind him of who he is. He doesn't mind us doing that. Paul, he said all of these statements, and I know of. Got lots of verses already this morning, so I didn't want to have any more. But Paul says some of these things. You'll recognize some of these from his words. Put on the new man. So he talks about putting on. And you've heard me say it before, but he wouldn't ask you to put on something that's not in the wardrobe. Is that right? So, and I think I've also shared, and Sandra there, yeah, she's not listening, so it's fine. Sometimes, you know, in the morning I put something on, and she'll say, that doesn't match, you know, you'd be better to put something else on. He says, go and get that white one with the blue stripes instead of the purple one with the black stripes, like, you know, because it doesn't go with the orange trousers or something. So I say, oh, okay. Now, what she knows is she doesn't tell me to go and put on what I haven't got for two reasons. One, she doesn't want me to spend more money on clothes. And the second reason is because it's already there. So she says, go and put that shirt on. That shirt would look better. Put it on. But it'd be silly if she told me to put something on that I didn't have possession of already that I couldn't go and get. I know that might sound silly, but when Paul tells us to put on the new man, he's not frustrating us. Come on, go and try and put on the new man, try and be like a new man. He's saying, put on what you've already got. Put on the robe that's already yours. Put on the new man. Realize what you have and start wearing it. Start putting it on. So he talks about put on the armor of God, doesn't he? Put on the robes of righteousness. All these are sermons in themselves, and I'm being really self-controlled right now. He talks about taking hold. He talks about seeking after. He talks about setting your affections, really knowing, you know, and really understanding. He talks about running. He talks about rising up. He talks about standing. And you could go on and make that list, all those things. But they're all active words, aren't they, about, you know, receiving and taking a hold of what is your inheritance. It's not about earning it. It's not about even understanding it fully. How does it work? I don't know how it works. It's just like, but just take it. Just partake of it. Just put it on. Be a partaker. Joshua 14. And I'll just read this. It's a little bit of a passage, but I love this. Joshua and Caleb. And we know from Numbers, and again, if you're interested enough, you can go and you can read Numbers 13, 14, particularly those two chapters where the spies, 12 spies, were sent into the promised land. And have been promised to them as a land flowing with milk and honey. There's this beautiful land and it's yours. You just got to go in and take it. And then Moses was asked to send the spies, the 12 spies in. One representative from each of the tribes was to go in. And he told them, he said, go to the mountains, go to the whatever. And he told them specific places to go. And when they came back, they quoted those same places. They said, we found giants in the south. Like, so they've been told to go to the south. They've been told to go to this mountain or whatever. When they went there, they found these giants. It's almost like they were set up to see exactly what was there ahead of them. And 10 of them came back. You know the story, or maybe you know the story. If you're not, you know, familiar with church and Bible, etc., you may not know the story. Beautiful story. Numbers 13, 14, you know, in the Bible. Read that, those couple of chapters. And 10 of them came back and they said, well, yeah, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, just like the promise said. And that was the words of the promise. But he said, but we are not able to go up because there were giants there. And then, you know, they even get to the point, they said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. You read it, it's very graphic, it's beautifully written, where they just saw themselves as, we can't do this. God had promised it. God had told them, go in, and he wanted them to go in. He wanted them to see the giants. He didn't want them to go to just the nice places. He wanted them to go and see what the obstacles were and see what the giants were. But then to come back and say, well, yes, the giants are there, but I trust God. He has said, he's promised this. He's given me this inheritance. He's given me this promise. So sometimes we have to just trust him. Sometimes we have to enter in. We don't have to earn it, but we have to enter into the inheritance that we have. And so this passage talks a little bit about it, because this is a little bit later on. Because Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies, and they came back. And the Bible says in those chapters in Numbers, it says that they had a different spirit in them. And they came back and they were told that they'd be the only ones that would inherit the land, because they had a different spirit. They came back and they knew. And so they circled for 40 years, and many of them didn't go into the promised land, but Joshua and Caleb were promised that they would. And so in the beginning of Joshua, you know, Moses dies, Joshua takes over, and Joshua is going to now lead the people into the inheritance. It says in Joshua 1, you're going to bring an inheritance to the people. And so he's got that job. So this is Joshua 14, 6 to 12 from the New Living. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of whatever his name is, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? That was 40 years. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. 40 years old, 40 years ago, 45 actually. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me, my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Isn't that a key to inheriting the promise, to walking in our inheritance? For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever. Doesn't that sound a lot like an inheritance? Because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country. This is the line that really stood out. This is why I picked this passage out, this line. He says, so give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. Now again, he's not being rude. He's not being disrespectful. He's not even trying to say, well, here's the cash to buy it. He's saying, this is my inheritance. And so I'm just remembering what God said all that time ago. And I'm remembering that God has had his hand upon me, even when we all walked in the wilderness for so long. And he's kept me healthy and he's kept me to this day so that his promise could be fulfilled in my life. And now I'm 85 years old and I'm saying, give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. Well, that's about receiving, isn't it? Receiving isn't please, but receiving is, okay, I know what is mine. I know what is my inheritance and I'm going to take it. Again, leads to the fourth point, which is to resist the contester. Now, a will can be contested, can't it? And there are times where that's quite legitimate. But here, we have a contester who wants to stop us from taking the inheritance that is ours. And we can know about our inheritance. We can understand it from an authoritative source. We can even set ourselves to receive it. But in conjunction with that is recognizing that there is someone who wants to sow thoughts in your mind, who wants to put obstacles in your way, who wants you to feel like in some way by his lies and his deceiving that you're not entitled to what you've been promised. And I think God just wants us to realize the authority that we've been given, to resist the contester and to go in. Now, try to look up that word contester. I can find in the dictionary the word contest, and it meant what I thought it meant. But I couldn't find too many references to the word contester. So today, ladies and gentlemen, history is being made. we have just written a new word, okay? And we're going to send it to the dictionary, and we're going to say, smarten up, get your dictionary up to date, because here's a new word that that we need. Now, you might find a dictionary that's already got it, where you can come and correct me, all right? We won't need to write to the dictionary and tell them. But, you know, this person, this thing, this this enemy of ours, Satan is our enemy. And he is a liar. This is his reputation. He's a liar, a trespasser, and a deceiver. And all those things talk about the absence of truth, isn't it? The absence of authority. You know, there's authority in truth. There's authority in owning land, not being a trespasser. And there's authority in, again, in truth, not being a deceiver. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. It says the word beware. It starts off in one translation as beware, which is really be aware, isn't it? So be aware. Realize what you have. Be aware. In the older translations, beware because your enemy is going around seeking whom he can devour. But I've got a different translation here I'd like to read. It says, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand. Hear that? Take a decisive stand. Think about, you have an inheritance. You've got an authority source. You've made the choice. You want to receive it and walk in it. So you need to make a decisive stand and say, no, I'm not going to let him rob me. You can counter the lies with truth. You can counter his deceptiveness with the authority of an owner. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. And I feel like that really relates a lot to Jeremy's message last week, which I really loved. Beaut message about, you know, about faith and vintage faith, I think he called it. Just about faith and standing in faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles you endure. Two more quick references and we're done for the morning. James 4:7 from the Amplified. You can write it down and have a look later if you need to. So submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him and he will flee from you. You know, some people just get the second part of that verse and say, well, resist the devil. I'm going to resist the devil. Some people get themselves into a bit of trouble that way because they haven't really affirmed you know, what their inheritance is. You see, if you don't know your inheritance, you can be tricked and deceived easily, don't you? But if you know your inheritance, if you know your authority, then you don't need to fear the enemy one bit. You just need to be aware of what he's doing and make a stand. And so this one just says two parts. Submit to the authority of God. In other words, trust who God is. Trust what God has said. Trust the authority that he has. Because if he's the one giving you authority, why is it important to understand his authority? Because he's given it to you, isn't he? He's given it to you. So he has the right. He has authority. In the Matthew 28, you know, Jesus said, all authority. He's just about to ascend to heaven and he's calling his disciples to commission them to go into the world. And he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go now, therefore, and preach the gospel. What he's really saying was, I've been given authority and now I'm passing authority onto you. You can only give authority that you've got. And so it's saying if you submit to the authority of God, follow his ways, submit to him and love what he loves, then you'll be able to know who you are and you'll be able to resist the devil and stand firm against him. Colossians 1, the last passage for the morning. From the Passion Translation, it's Colossians 1, 22, and then I'm jumping over to chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. 1, 22, and then chapter 2, 8 and 10. Just for time's sake, I've picked a few verses out that flow together. Listen to this and then we're finished for the morning. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy and flawless and restored. But beware, in other words, you've got this great inheritance, relationship and inheritance, but beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness. See, we can be a partial. You know, we can partially experience our inheritance. But don't you want to experience the fullness? So don't let anyone distract you or intimidate you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments, based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Folks, the good news, you have an inheritance. It comes from relationship that any of us can enter into. It's our place to know what the will of God is, or know what that will is, the inheritance that we have, to receive it and then to resist those lies that would try to rob from us the very best and the very fullest of experiencing all he has for us. You know, it's funny, but this message started out of a statement going through my mind, which was from a scripture, and I think I'll probably pick up on this next time, but it was, don't let anyone rob you. That last Colossians 2. In the older translations, it says something like, don't let anyone rob you. Don't let anyone rob you. And that was funny. That was a thing going through my mind. I got to preach a sermon on that when I come back. And it kind of turned into, I wrote down on a piece of paper, rob us from what? What is it that we get robbed from? And the first thing I thought of was, we get robbed from our inheritance, don't we? We get robbed from what is ours, that we can just walk in and receive and know that we have. And so we'll pick up from there, but that's my heart this morning. Hey, how about we know and experience God's very best, all that is ours. So sad when we miss out on something that is our entitlement. Father, I thank you for these words this morning, and I ask for your revelation. I ask you to quicken to our hearts. I pray that something will grow inside of us through your revelation this morning of our inheritance. I thank you for many in this room who are aware of their inheritance and can celebrate and share testimony of many great experiences in outworking that inheritance and holding on to and affirming that inheritance. And Lord, we can all share testimonies and times of where we forgot that inheritance, or we let it slip, or we only lived partially in it, and then as we became aware, we were able to stand and you brought us into something new and something fresh. I thank you for those times as well, and all that we learn. And I pray this morning, Father, for any that might be in that exciting place of starting the journey, where just today, Lord, they're able to enter a relationship with you and begin to discover more and more, Lord, the beautiful pearls that are in this field for us to enjoy and experience. I pray, Lord, that you'll draw us to yourself. I pray, Lord, that you'll stir in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that these words won't easily drift from our thoughts and from our life, that they will become a reality as we realize more and more all that we have in you. And I thank you for that. Just while we're praying this morning, and just in a prayerful mode, I just want to ask if there is anyone this morning. I kind of just like to know. I'm not going to make you come out the front, but I will ask you if you want to come and chat to me or somebody later. But is there anyone this morning, and you've never, you know, you've believed in God and whatever else, but you know, as I've talked, you realize that you've never really entered relationship with him. And you may not understand it all from just what I said today, but you know something inside of your heart right now is saying, you know what, I want this relationship with God. I've always thought there was something there, or maybe even now I'm just thinking there's something there and I haven't lived in the fullness of that, and I want to do something about that. You know, if you say yes to God, then he'll do the rest. You know, you'll have friends that will journey with you and help you and encourage you as much as you want. Would you put your hand up this morning and just let me know? Because I'd be really excited about that this morning, if there is anyone. I don't even know if there is, but if there is anyone that this morning you want to start that journey. Okay, great. Excellent. All righty. So again, not going to embarrass anyone, but my prayer is for you to come into the excitement of knowing, you know, the inheritance that is yours, and enjoy the journey of that relationship with him. Thank God there is someone this morning, and Lord, I thank you for that. And if there are others who, I've been on the journey a long time, maybe even sometimes that being on the journey a long time can be the problem, because what happens is we, and would the team just come up, please, guys? The problem would be, well, we just get a bit numb. You know, we've lost the excitement of the inheritance we have, and so then we let things get robbed from us and they slip away. Well, you just come for prayer when we finish the service, and you just come for prayer and just come to me. I'll be just here, or to someone else you know and trust and feel comfortable with. Just come up, and we'd just really love to talk with you and pray with you. All right? Absolutely won't embarrass you. We just want to encourage you and get excited with you this morning. Otherwise, enjoy some fellowship and try and stand near a heater or something, get warm. That'd be good. God bless you. Thank you.